Well, hello everyone, and welcome. Something going a bit funky with my internet here. Hopefully you can hear me. Welcome to Office Hours for this week. We're going to be talking about the goings-on in Los Angeles, where we're set for another summer of love. This time it is the anti-ICE, so it is immigrants protesting against the harsh treatment by Trump's ICE team. And last I saw on the BBC, Trump has not only called the National Guard out, he has called the Marines. The Marines have gone in to deal with the protesters, which apparently have calmed down a little bit. So, as ever, I'll be covering that in the most kind of counterintuitive and annoying way possible by reviewing our friends at LBC, in particular James O'Brien, who has been going absolutely apeshit on this topic. But before we get there, a couple of things. First, it caused a bit of a stir today with my video backing Rupert Lowe to become the next Tory leader. This is a little bit unusual, this video. One, because a lot of people are saying I seem optimistic and white-pilled. Fact is that opportunities exist now with Rupert Lowe that did not exist exactly 1 year ago. Okay, the situation has changed. If you understand Machiavelli, you have to play the situation in front of you, and circumstances have changed. Okay, they have changed. Rupert Lowe wasn't on the map a year ago. Reform had not quite revealed their true snakery a year ago. The Tories were not as down and out a year ago. So all of these things have basically created a perfect storm that come to fruition. As cometh the hour, cometh the man. I think that man is Rupert Lowe, and I'm very interested to see what develops next. I honestly think our best shot now is a Tory, a revived Tory party, a newly based Tory party led by Lowe, purged of wet. That would, number one, absolutely smash reform, because Nigel Farage is a fake. He's a phony. He's a snake. He's a snake oil salesman, and everybody knows it now. He's revealed his true colors. Tice, useless. Reform have shown themselves to be absolutely useless. Okay, yes, it will take quite a lot to make the Tory party into what it needs to become, but that is what it needs to. That is what needs to happen, I'm afraid. It's the only realistic way to get there. In the time that we have available. I've kind of floated this idea, and I've been interested to see who's been pushing back on that and for what reasons. But I would say the majority of people are kind of, they're like, well, if this could happen, I'd be for it, right? Well, look, if everybody wants this to happen, if everybody thinks it would be a great idea, then it should just become reality. Why not? Let's make it happen. The second thing, just before we get going, is of course sales of courses. Buy the Trivium, ladies and gentlemen. Buy the Trivium today, and when I come back, we're going to be talking about Trump calling in the Marines. Where are we? Let's go.
LA, 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 Pandemic Agency.
All right, we're back. Tomorrow night I have a special appearance on the Aaron McIntyre show, following up on a video that I made last week, last Wednesday, if you remember. I made the video about the CRS, the Community Relations Service, this quasi-secret organization that's been man-managing protests, civil rights stuff, race relations in America going all the way back to 1964, which was one of those kind of mind-blowing eye-openers. The book was called America's Peacemakers, and it was one of those books like Who Paid the Piper. I was like, holy shit, this goes so much deeper than you expect. I'm going to be talking about that with Aaron McIntyre, and in light of what's happened in LA over the weekend, there's kind of even more urgent cause for Trump and co to just basically dismantle the CRS. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow night. So let's talk about the protests in LA. Now, I wasn't going to cover this story because I seldom cover American domestic stories for obvious reasons. I'll cover American stories as they pertain, like, you know, to matters of international importance, or even to like kind of national importance. But I think that the LA story has spilled over into being a matter of international importance at this time. A bunch of protesters, Trump claims that they are astroturfed. Like, Trump has actually come out and said they're professional agitators who've been funded. Okay. Who knows who funded them? The usual suspects, the NGOs. Maybe this CRS is involved. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe George Soros. You know, it's the usual playbook. Only this time, Trump has not said we're monitoring the situation like he did during the Summer of Love, right? He's called in the National Guard, and now he's called in the Marines to absolutely smash them. Now, what is fascinating about this, and we are going to watch a few clips and things, is that it's put the Democrats, and it's put probably their number one contender to be president next time, Gavin Newsom, in a really odd position, where they're defending the bloody protests. The mayor of LA is defending what's going on. Gavin Newsom has come out on the side of the illegal immigrants. Now this, to me, is getting towards what you might call a crisis in American politics. And let me just be clear about what the crisis is. The crisis is one of the two major political parties, the Democrat Party, has it as a stated position that citizenship to America means absolutely nothing. That illegal migrants, that foreigners essentially, should have the same rights as natives. This is not a serious political position for any party to have. And honestly, I think we're getting close to the point where it should be a mainstream position in American politics just to say, like, look, the Democrat Party is too far gone. The Democrat Party has kind of lost its way to the extent where we cannot allow it to be part of the political process. It's not about banning the left. The left can have a new party, right? But the Democrat Party as they stand just needs to be banned. I just don't see any reason for them to be allowed to exist when their stated position is, anybody should be allowed to come without a passport. That's not a position. And yet, Gavin Newsom and this mayor and all of these officials in California, all the Democrats need to do is to not be mental. Just stop being mental. Just have a normal political position. You can't have a country without the notion of citizenship. It's just absurd that this is even a debate. So I really do think that the Democrat Party may have come to the end of their kind of natural usefulness as a political force and just need to be replaced. These things have happened in history, maybe not in American history, but it is possible, you know. In this country, it was the Liberal Party once they had outlived their usefulness, they were replaced by Labour. Why can't that happen again? Because the Democrats aren't a serious political party at this point. That they're a glorified student protest group with absurd, non-adult political positions. Like, oh, a passport means nothing, basically. You can't have the rule of law and order or the notion of a judiciary. Well, when you don't recognize the difference between legal and illegal, it's a nonsense. Anyway, let's see how our friend James O'Brien has taken to the news. Let's have a look. There's some choice corkers here. Why don't we go for this one? This annoying kind of Robin Leach type character who we watched before.
Begin, Simon, with a little sort of historic perspective on how significant what Trump has done with regard to California and the National Guard actually is.
Absolutely, James. I mean, you've got to go back 60 years. You've got to go back to 1965 to find any kind of precedent for this. Then President Lyndon Johnson ordered the Alabama National Guard to be federalized and taken over by his government.
Now, you all know better than I do, but didn't H.W. Bush call out the National Guard during the L.A. riots in 92? Why is he going back to Johnson? Like, what happened in 92? How was the National Guard? I thought Bush Sr. called out the National Guard. Tell me if I'm wrong. LA riots, 92. Basic history. Anyway, let's carry on.
Against the opposition of Alabama's Governor George Wallace. And of course, at the time, what LBJ was trying to do was to allow black students to go.
So, right. So the chat have basically said, yeah, that is right, AA. Bush Sr. called out the guard in the LA riots of 1991, 92. So I didn't even need to look it up. It's basic fucking knowledge. Oh, this is our expert guest on LBC. Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Into schools in Alabama. So that's the only close recent precedent for this. Every single state has its own National Guard, and absolutely the National Guard.
So the distinction this guy's drawing apparently is that in 92 he had the consent of the California governor, Bush Sr. did, whereas in 64 when LBJ did it in Alabama, he did not have the consent of the governor. So that's the distinction. Okay, fair enough.
From various states has been deployed at various times of emergency and challenge in the United States, but since 1965, always with the approval of the governor of the state where the guard is being deployed. And in this case, Donald Trump has completely overridden.
So why was it all right for LBJ to do it then? Why is LBJ getting a pass? The fact is, that was a valid use of the power by LBJ, so it was a valid use of the power by Trump.
Governor Gavin Newsom, the prominent Democrat, who of course is the governor of California and almost certainly covets a run for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination in 2028. I think it's important to underscore that there is a real personal battle now underway between Donald Trump.
Can I just say, Gavin Newsom is absolutely cooked. Absolutely cooked his chances of being president. I just don't see how he comes back from this. Because your position as the governor of California cannot be, yeah, it's just all right for illegals to riot and burn things down. And I'm not going to make a distinction between legal and illegal. And I'm basically going to act as if passports aren't a thing. That can't be a position, Gavin Newsom. I just don't understand where they're coming from on this, how they can oppose it on this. Trump has, I mean, this is not 40 chess, it's just straightforward chess. Trump has basically knocked out Gavin Newsom for whoever runs in 2028, because this cannot be the Democrats' official position on a presidential platform. And Gavin Newsom's not going to be able to walk it back, is he?
And one of the Republican Party's potential challengers in the next presidential election. This is a move that Gavin Newsom is now appealing. He's urging the federal government to rescind the takeover of his National Guard, now deployed in their hundreds on the streets of Los Angeles.
Tell me why the mayor of LA and Gavin Newsom aren't arrested for aiding and abetting an insurrection against America. Why aren't they arrested for treason under the Insurrection Act? Explain that to me, because I don't understand the concept of somebody being an elected leader saying this is okay and opposing the president taking necessary action. The only reason Trump has done this is because Gavin Newsom didn't do it. I just don't understand where the Democrats are coming from. They have completely lost their way. And like I said, we're getting to the point where they just need to be banned. Like, it's like, at what level of corruption and at what level of stupidity do you just say, look, this is not a viable party anymore. We need to just like ban it and replace it with, you know, okay, it can still be leftist, but you at least have to agree to basic things. Like, one, America is an actual nation. Number two, the concept of having a passport and citizenship means something. Being an American means something. Therefore, number three, different laws apply to foreigners, illegal immigrants, than to the native population. Number four, if people who are not native to America start burning things down, then you not only have to take action, you have to deport those people immediately. Number five, if foreign politicians like the president of Mexico starts cheering on, effectively a kind of invasion into your country, you don't side with them, you side against them. These are just basic kind of, it's like the, I know there's no such thing as the social contract, right? But there's a tacit agreement between the rulers and the ruled in all societies that would agree to all of those things that I just said. If you do not agree to that, you should not be allowed to be part of public life. You shouldn't be allowed to be an official if you don't agree to all those things I just said. These dickheads are meant to take an oath on the Bible, that they're meant to take an oath, you know, on the Constitution when they take office. This is treason. It shouldn't be allowed. So my position at this point is, if the Democrats can't not be mental, they need to be forced not to be mental, because it's non-viable. You could say what you want about Labour Party in this country, right? The Labour Party self-corrected. Keir Starmer, you can say what you want about him, does believe in the difference between a legal and an illegal immigrant, or a British citizen, or someone who's a foreigner. Even he makes that distinction. Leftist communist that he is, Keir Starmer. These fuckers in California, they've completely lost. They've completely lost it. So honestly, something needs to be done about the Democrat Party. It is a situation of national emergency at this point.
Los Angeles, with the capacity as a result of the president's order for up to 2,000 members of the California National Guard to be deputized by the federal government to police protests.
All right, he's back.
He is itching to use the Insurrection Act of 1807 to flood Los Angeles and potentially other cities and states all over the country with army troops, with the Marine Corps, not just with the National Guard. He actually wants to use the United States Armed Forces that were created, of course, to fight wars overseas on the streets of the United States. He tried to do it back in January of 2020 during the protests over the killing by police in Minneapolis of George Floyd. He was stopped by his then chairman of the Joint Chiefs of...
It's good that Trump wants to do this, because effectively what you're seeing in California is an invasion by a foreign power. They were flying the Mexican flag. It's being cheered on by the president of Mexico. Trump should also say to the president of Mexico, listen, love, if you keep on doing this, I'll declare, USA will declare war on Mexico until you put an end to this and crack down on it from your side as well. It really needs to happen soon, because it's just a joke what has happened, you know, on the southern border in America. It's just an absolute joke that any of this is being opposed, including by this clown here that we're seeing.
Staff Mark Milley and his then Defense Secretary Mark Esper, who stood up to Donald Trump and said, no, that's not what the army's for. That, if we get to the stage where he invokes the Insurrection Act, is not going to happen this time around.
I mean, the big question is why? Why does he want to do that? Why would he want to flood the streets with military personnel more used to activity in the Middle East, or more used to activity, as you say, on foreign soil?
Because this is the perfect storm for him. I mean, first of all, let's remember where he was just, I mean, if we can cast our minds back 96 hours, right? He was on the receiving end of all sorts of attention regarding his bust up with Elon Musk that he really didn't want to keep in the national conversation. So suddenly we learnt here on Saturday.
Wait a second, right? Trump did not make people chimp out in the streets of LA. Trump didn't tell Gavin Newsom, take the most insane possible position on this. Trump did not tell the mayor of LA, just be an all-out revolutionary communist when it comes to the laws of this nation. So let's not talk shit here. I just don't understand why it's not like Trump planned this.
Today that he was going to travel to Camp David on Sunday, surround himself with senior figures in his own government and military advisors and military leaders. That was the first indication that there was a big distraction coming and a big page turn coming. And the page turn is for Donald Trump to take advantage of the fact that you have these protests, he says, by criminal aliens and migrants, although those are by no means the only people protesting his mass deportations on the streets of Los Angeles. You have these protests taking place in a reliably democratic state.
No, right? It doesn't matter if it's reliably democratic. It doesn't matter if it's California, Alabama, or any other place. All of America comes under federal law. It is a federal law that you're not allowed in to America without proper documentation. You can't just, pop over the border without a passport. Trump was elected by the American people and vested by the power of the office and by God to deal with this problem. And now these protesters are going against the official will of the American people and of the American federal government. Federal law comes above the state law. You can't just say, it's a Democrat area, so, different laws apply. No, they fucking don't. What is this guy talking about?
A place where only last week he was making plans to halt all federal funding for California. So he's planned to pick this fight with Governor Newsom and the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass. It's an issue, mass deportations, that is wildly popular with his Make America Great Again base. And I mean, we're going to have to find a new definition.
Wildly popular with the American people. 54% I saw in polls. Support what Trump is doing here. I'm surprised it's not more, frankly. How can it be anybody's position that you just get free rein to march into the country without any checks or balances, without any, push back. And then once you're over, once you're over, then you get people like the Gavin Newsom and this mayor from LA saying, oh, well done, now you're over. Oh, come on, we'll join your protest. Fucking no. Let the law enforcement team get on with their job. Let the border force get these people out. Let ICE do their jobs. Same in this country as well. Same in every country. Otherwise, it's not a country. It's not a country. And to go back to my earlier point, when it comes to the likes of Newsom and this mayor and the other Democrat officials who are opposing Trump on this, they should not be allowed in office if that is their official position. Because in effect, what you're saying is you don't believe in the country of America's right to exist. You don't believe in the nation state as a concept. Well, if you don't believe in the nation state as a concept, you can't fucking run to be president of that nation state. Go off and be a hippie. Go off and be some anarcho-capitalist or some bullshit. Don't run for office.
In the dictionary, a new word to replace the word irony, because I don't think it actually adequately covers what's happened in the last few hours. Donald Trump has taken to his own social media feed to say, arrest the people in face masks now. This is a president who has unleashed on the street.
Why are you wearing a face mask then? Why, if you, of course, arrest the people with face masks. You don't allow ninjas to just kind of run in the street. It's a danger. Even if you walk in a shop wearing a hoodie, a security guard will tell you to take that hoodie off. Of course, you shouldn't be allowed to wear face masks in the street. Right? In 2020, Antifa and BLM got basic immunity. And Trump just was, you know, just was tweeting out law and order, we're monitoring the situation. This time he's learned. And if he's learned, good. Use every tactic available to clean up these scumbags who are undermining America. They're undermining the very notion of America as a country. That can't be allowed. And Trump is a patriot who was elected by patriots. Of course, he should be allowed to do his job.
Of cities all over this country, federal agents masked, refusing to divulge even which agency they work for, who have swept people that they say are illegal immigrants off the streets. We've all seen dramatic videos of that taking place in towns and cities nationwide, and then denied those alleged illegal immigrants the due legal process that the law requires them to be given before, in the case of hundreds of them, they're stuck on planes and flown out of the country, most infamously, of course, to that terrorist detention camp in El Salvador. He is now the man saying, arrest the people in face masks now. The people on the streets are few.
Can I just say, if that is a law, why is that a law, right? Think about this now, right? Think about this. You break the law by entering an international border without the necessary paperwork, basically sneaking across the border without a passport. Then if you're stopped, the state of America says, by the way, you're entitled to a lawyer. What? Oh, yeah, have free legal counsel as reward for crossing the border. What? That is stupid. So it's a right for Trump to basically say, no, you're not fucking having it. Just get out. Just get out into El Salvador and then back. Absolutely, it is correct. Because America is facing an international emergency. 20 million people, Joe Biden, let over that border. 20 million people. If you think Boris Wave was bad, 20 million people. It's just a joke. And this fucker, he's against it. How is that a position? I just don't understand these people.
Curious, in part, because his agents, when they take to the streets and seize people off those streets, are all masked, refuse to divulge their identities, and in some cases, onlookers who have watched what has been taking place have suspected that kidnapping was actually occurring and have challenged federal law enforcement agents, clearly from the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division of his government and or from the Border Patrol, to unmask themselves and reveal who they are, and they all refuse to do it.
Yeah, you're right. And irony doesn't cover it, does it? It feels like an inadequate description of what you're describing. Final question. And you mentioned the base and their ravenous appetite for these scenes of violence, which, you know,
I just want James O'Brien and this twat just to acknowledge at some point the law needs to be enforced and these people have broken the law. Why is that not the first thing that is said? I don't understand it.
Probably be loosely described as choreographed or at least escalated by Donald Trump. Is there any limit to that? The fracture has to come, doesn't it, between people who hate...
Why was it that during Southport, false parts of the law is the false part of the law? Do you remember all of that? Why was it that this same fuckwit that we're watching here was, oh, he's 100% for that. He didn't have any questions about that. Oh, a brilliant job, Keir Starmer. Brilliant things. Throw these people in jail. She made a mean tweet. Get her in jail. But in this case, when people are clearly breaking the law and have already broken the law by illegally crossing an international border, is there no limit to the crack there? What the fuck is wrong with these people? Honestly, I thought we'd watch several of these videos, but I'm not sure if my blood pressure can take it.
What they're seeing and people who love it. What's that fracture going to look like?
Well, I'm afraid that we have to let this situation play out.
Yes.
And the great fear, of course, is that he does flood the zone with troops. I mean, again, last night on social media, looking really bad in LA, he wrote, "Bring in the troops," in all capitals. Mm. He is itching for this fight. And clearly, there were protesters last night on the streets of Los Angeles who were engaged in acts of violence against...
Right. That was... It took these two 7.5 minutes to actually acknowledge that people are breaking the law and to acknowledge that there is actually a need to restore law and order and for these people to face the full force of the law, which was just a few short months ago, these same people were 100% up for. 7.5 minutes. Tell you what, if I was in charge, LBC, that Ofcom license would be gone tomorrow. Because how is this allowed to go on air?
Against law enforcement, in direct contravention of the pleas of Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass, who urged people not to take the bait from Donald Trump. Some of them have taken the bait. Donald Trump covets a showdown, and in a febrile tinderbox atmosphere like the one that already exists in Los Angeles, protests spread last night to San Francisco. We may see this accelerating across the country. Certainly in the last few weeks, protesters have become increasingly emboldened as they have sought to confront ICE agents as they go about the process of seizing people off the streets to enforce Donald.
People are saying, right, look, it is a duty as a broadcaster, an LBC as a broadcaster, to actually deal with the facts first. They did not deal with the facts first, and they did not establish what laws were broken first, and they did not establish the fact that the president of America is acting in trying to uphold what the laws are against people who are breaking those laws. It's their duty to inform the public of that first, rather than siding with the protesters and counter-signaling the president of America. How is that in any way upholding their duty to the public, which is what that license that is granted to them? You know, they're not able to broadcast without that license. Tell me how LBC are fulfilling their duty, their public duty. It's not dictatorial. It's asking a basic question of what these people are trying to do. because as far as I can tell, they're just trying to undermine the law and order in America and the very concept of America being a nation.
Donald Trump's mass deportation policies. I mean, that's a really dangerous cocktail. And the man in charge in the White House, unconstrained by any of his top officials, because they're all yes men, they're all and women, they're all going to give him exactly what he wants, has the capacity here to accelerate this situation. Gavin Newsom was arguing to inflame it. And, you know, clearly that creates a very combustible atmosphere here. So we have to see how far he's willing to go. Are we going to see violence on the streets where the army is used to use perhaps lethal rounds against...
The thing is that I don't have a broadcast license because I'm not a media outlet. I'm just an independent guy with a YouTube channel. So I don't have a license, and therefore I don't have the duties and obligations that LBC has to inform the public of actually what's happening.
Protesters on American streets, and how much rope will the Make America Great Again faithful give him?
A brief word, if you would, Simon, on Terry Moran over at ABC News and what that tells us about the state of play in our profession.
Well, look, I'm a great admirer of Terry Moran. I think that this is a terribly sad twist for his career. He has been, for a very long time, one of the most erudite and responsible television journalists in this city and indeed in this country. I think he made a mistake. I think that it is unfortunate that he said what he said on Twitter.
What's the Terry Moran story? I missed that. Who's Terry Moran? Or why? Like, what's this bit? Can I just say it's not my breathing? That was James O'Brien, the slovenly dog-faced gremlin, breathing into his own mic. I've been muted. It's actually James O'Brien's, you know, piggy dog breath that you can hear, not mine.
On X, rather. But what is completely inappropriate in Terry Moran's situation is for the White House to be contacting his employer, ABC News, and putting pressure on them to hold Terry Moran accountable. They were already engaged in the process of accountability. They would have suspended him anyway because of what he wrote. I mean, you can argue about the general sentiments that he was expressing about White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller. Many people in this country would agree with what Terry Moran said.
His own uncle agrees
with what Terry Moran has said. I mean, I think the difficulty with what Terry Moran wrote is where he said, you can just see it, you know?
Yeah.
That to me is the phrase that ultimately got him into difficulty. But, you know, it's a lesson to all of us in terms of the use of social media. But also it's an indicator of the fact that this White House has absolutely no respect whatsoever for the First Amendment, for the Fourth Estate, and is going to put the arm in a continuing way on what it dismissively refers to as the legacy media. In this case, adding weight to what may...
Well, frankly, when Trump said the media are the enemy of the people, when you watch stuff like this, you're just reminded of it, aren't you? Anyway, I've got more where this came from. Sorry, guys, there's even going to be more. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at this next bit from LBC.
Trump's administration sent thousands more troops to Los Angeles on a fourth day of chaotic protests against those immigration raids. Also unrest spreading to other parts of the United States. But let's focus.
As this plays, I'm going to do my fourfold elemental breath. Okay? Because it's not good for my... It's not good to get angry. I'm going to breathe, right? Remember? Breathe in. One, two, three, four. Breathe in. Hold for four. One, two, three, four. Breathe out for four. One, two. Hold for four. Two, three, four. Let's do it again. In. Hold. Out. Hold. let's calm down. I'm actually enjoying an H. Upman major, Corona major. So let's chill out a little bit. Remember, it's thousands of miles away. It's got nothing to do with us. Oh.
Initially on LA and California, here's a little of the war of words between the state governor, Gavin Newsom, and President Trump.
The hell is this guy? Come after me, arrest me. Let's just get it over with. Tough guy. The hell are they doing? These guys need to grow up. They need to stop.
He's in a... How was that? Getting back.
Trump's administration sent
with tough.
This is like something out of L.A. Law,
Newsom,
or like,
and
this is like a TV show, a film, a clip from a Batman movie or something. Watch this again.
President Trump.
The hell is this guy? Come after me, arrest me. Let's just get it over with. Tough guy. The hell are they doing? These guys need to grow up. They need to stop.
He's an incompetent governor. Look at the job he's doing in California. He's destroying one of our great states. And if I didn't get involved, if we didn't bring the guard in, and we would bring more in if we needed it, because we have to make sure there's going to be law and order. You had a disaster happening.
Well, let's turn to Drexel Hurd II, who's a political strategist and former executive director of the Los Angeles Democratic Party, joining us from Los Angeles. And perhaps I can start, if I may, Mr. Hurd. You'll have been watching the local media, listening possibly to local radio stations. What do you understand to be the situation tonight in your city? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, and good morning to your listeners. Listen, I think one of the things that Donald Trump thought was going to happen was that there was going to be chaos.
What sort of name is Drexel Hurd II? So American, isn't it? Oh, hey, what's your name? Oh, Drexel Hurd II. Oh, hey, Drexel, how you doing? Drexel. Weird country.
In Los Angeles. His version of chaos is all made up in his head and has been since January 20th. And what we're seeing are peaceful protests all across the city. Yeah, there's, there's a handful of...
Oh, here we go. Mainly peaceful protests where you're burning stuff down yet again. Mainly peaceful. 93% peaceful. You know, when that burglar came into your house and smashed your door down, it was a mostly peaceful burglary, right? Because if you really calculate it, the knocking down of your door, well, that was only like 2% of what he did. You're going to have to replace the door, but it was a mostly peaceful robbery. Yeah, yeah.
Political agitators, but no more than what we say when the Dodgers won the World Series, the excitement around the city. So I think, you know, Donald Trump is trying to instill fear and using Los Angeles as a test case.
But Drexel, here in London, I'm holding up a copy of the Times, or the London Times, as you would call it. And there on the front page is someone, a protester, waving a Mexican flag from the roof of a burning car surrounded by flames.
Yes, good. Now, I should explain that in the little world of LBC, James O'Brien is the shit lib. This dude is, I forget his name now, but he's like the center-right guy who tells you like it is. I'm going to tell it to you straight. I'm going to tell it to you straight like a pear cider made from 100% pears, because I tell it to you straight. I'm your no-nonsense shock jock. Nick Ferrari, he tells it to you straight. Like a pear cider made from 100% pears. Tell it to you straight. And another thing. Men should not be in women's sport. It's political correctness gone mad, I tell you. And did you see what those Muslims did recently? Oh, it's political correctness gone mad, I tell you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Nick Ferrari, tell it to you straight. Let's carry on.
How would you define that, Drexel?
Well, look, I think there's going to be a lot of pockets, where there are going to be political agitators. There's no one who...
The loony left have gone mad! Oh, I tell you, these days, you can't move without seeing one of those pride flags on Nick Ferrari! I give it to you straight! Ferrari!
Who is going to deny that there are agitators in every political protest movement, But that doesn't that does not mean that what Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth and the federal government are out there saying is reality here in Los Angeles. I was driving around LA today through Hollywood today. No protests out there. But when downtown earlier this morning had a peaceful protest, you know, calling for the release of SEIU President David Huerta as he was released this morning. That was a peaceful protest.
I've gone inside of the newspaper now. There's people standing on police cars that have been torched and graffitied. There's an Australian TV journalist who's been shot in the leg. And there's tear gas being deployed by, I think the National Guard on a bridge in Los Angeles. Are you in the same city?
Look, I think that, like I said, well, that's a great question. No, listen, I think what, you know, listen, you can find any portion in any news story and get a great shot of one person. That doesn't...
No, that's not true, Drexel, right? That's not true. For example, I'll give you an example, Drexel Hurd II. Back in the days when smelly Piers Corbyn and his smelly friends went on anti-lockdown protests and marches, the anti-lockdown protesters didn't burn down any cars, they didn't graffiti any property, they didn't jump up and down on those cars like literal chimpanzees. They just kind of peacefully marched about looking a bit smelly and swampy, which is what protesters often do. So it's not actually the case that you can just, you can take any story and blah, 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 blah. You can't, because they actually have to burn down cars, do graffiti and jump up and down. So that's a bullshit argument, isn't it? Drexel Hurd II, political strategist.
Reflect what's happening across Los Angeles right now that doesn't reflect the peaceful protests that we've had since Friday, talking about the raids and the aggression that ICE has brought to our city. The governor has called it out. The mayor of Los Angeles has called it out. And leaders all across Los Angeles have called it out. So, you know, listen, it's one thing in this social media world, and I always caution our viewers, as you all know, across the world, you know, one photograph does not indicate a reality and what Donald...
One photograph does not indicate a reality. Like, for example, the photograph that they show every school child of Rosa Parks on the bus. That photo does not, because what that photo of Rosa Parks on the bus doesn't show you is the huge network of NGOs, activists, and political agitators that went into making that photo opportunity a reality. Does not tell you, for example, that the man that Rosa Parks is sitting next to is a journalist. It was a shit-lib journalist. Does not tell you, for example, that Rosa Parks was a funded activist and not just some innocent woman. Doesn't tell you, for example, that she had tons of money from various civil rights groups and other shady organizations like the ones I'm going to be talking about tomorrow. Doesn't tell you any of that. So yeah, Drexel Hurd II is right that a photo doesn't always tell the full story. Absolutely correct, Drexel Hurd II, political strategist.
Trump has been trying to trump up is not reality.
How is the situation to be diffused, Drexel?
Well, that's a great question. Listen, I think first, ICE has to kind of stop their aggression towards communities, especially our immigrant communities here in Los Angeles. I think the governor and the mayor, the governor of California and the mayor, you know, have to remind the folks and continue to remind the people that political agitators and peaceful protesters are two different people. They need to coordinate with our local law enforcement, LAPD, LASD, our CHP officers, and say, hey, listen, these are the folks you need to focus on. These are the other and the peaceful protesters have a First Amendment right to talk about and to protect our communities and talk about.
So they are actually accepting that there are professional agitators on the scene. They're actually accepting that this is reality, which is interesting, because I'm pretty sure they didn't used to do that back in the days of the Summer of Love.
About what's right. And I think that that's the way that they need to start to handle that situation as it is.
All right. I'm going to leave it there. You look after yourself, buddy. Thank you for your time. Drexel Hurd II, political strategist, and you were executive director of the Los Angeles Democratic Party.
So there's more where this came from. Unfortunately, it's the slovenly dog-faced gremlin, JOB, on the next two.
America is no longer a serious country. And that hurts me because I'm an American. And it is sad for me to see this. The first thing people need to understand about what's going on in Los Angeles. Los Angeles has three tiers of policing that exist. The LAPD, the California Highway Patrol, and the LA County Sheriff's Office. That should be more than enough to quell this violence that's taking place. And be real clear about the fact that if this was happening in Des Moines, Iowa...
Look how big his mug is. That is an enormous mug from O'Brien. My gosh.
Trump wouldn't have sent a barber to quell the violence. This is happening because it's L.A. and because his base hates L.A. Mm. It hates everything that L.A. stands for. L.A. has a huge Mexican population. As far as his base is concerned...
Well, maybe they think that the existing police force, because of what that guy just said, wouldn't actually act to quell the violence. Have you considered that, bloke from America?
All of them are illegal and need to be deported. And that's what Trump is playing to. He's playing to a very base fear among the people that support him the most. And it is also deflecting from the, when was the last time you heard anybody talk about the American economy under Trump? You see, it's not just about what's going on in L.A., which is a reaction, whether you like it or not. I mean, I'm not a, you know, any law and order guy, and I'm not a violent in the streets guy, even though when I was a very, very young man, I was in the streets in New York. But the bottom line.
Yeah, it's coming out now. New York, in the streets. I'd like to know more about this caller.
Mine is, this is a windfall to him. This is something that fell into his lap. Violence in Los Angeles. Call out the National Guard. Make myself, when I'm just speaking of Trump, look like a hero.
To the people who think that all of the Latinos or anybody Mexican, anybody with a sort of suntan is an illegal immigrant and needs to be deported.
I mean, let's face it, 20 million of them did come over the border. So chances are, on average, yeah, they may have a point. Especially when they're actually doing violence. It's not like Trump asked them to be violent, is it? It's not like he was able to orchestrate this, unless you believe that he is the one funding the cartels and fanning the flames. And I have seen on the more kind of conspiratorial blue and on left, people saying that actually Trump is the one who's funded these. So that idea is actually out there. I'd love to know what it is. Like, where is the line for these people? That's the question. Where is the line for these people? What does this guy imagine would have happened if Trump had not intervened? Do you think the LA police would have got a handle on this? Because I don't. Why not? Because I remember what happened in the Summer of Love. I remember what happened when the police stood back and stood by as BLM basically burnt down city after city. It was only 4 years ago.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I used to do this for a living, all right? I used to do what you do now for a living. I used to talk to people.
I know you did. People unaware of that. You were on Air America Radio, worked on Morning Sedition with Mark Maron, New York City.
All right, so this is not like some random member of the public. This is a fellow slop jock, isn't it? This is a fellow shitlib. This is a fellow journalist. Brilliant. Oh, I've just got a caller on the line. Oh, by the way, here's tons of information I've got about this caller. It's almost like it's not an organic caller, but a fellow shitlib. Because you couldn't speak to a real American, any of my buddies over there.
You've done it all, Mark. That's why I was so impressed, if that's not a slightly wrong word to use for someone 20 years younger than you to use, when you came on last time. And I, you know, we did our homework. You know what you are talking about. Quite how you've, I think you ended up in Brighton for reasons of love and romance, which adds an extra dimension to your story. But you
32 years worth.
There you go. But you do what I.
I'm just a regular former shit lib slop jock living in Brighton.
Tried to do. You've written the manual on it, trying to work out what he is doing. So he wants more. He wants more violence. He wants escalation.
He wants more violence. And James, let me just say this as an aside.
Yeah.
Because New York City lost one of the finest journalists who ever lived, and a guy named Tom Robbins, who passed away, I think, 2 weeks ago now. It was Tom Robbins, and I'm going to tie this into Trump. Mm. It was Tom Robbins who exposed the fact that Trump was using illegal Polish migrants to help build Trump Tower. He broke that story. You see? And
so it's nothing to do with country of origin or...
So why would you have a problem with that? Why would these guys have a problem with that? In theory, they don't. They're just kind of like they're using Saul Alinsky tactics. So it wasn't actually courageous. It was just a bit of like partisan journalism, wasn't it? Because you wouldn't have reported on the story if it was anyone else. You're just trying to like gotcha Trump. So I don't respect that at all.
Or a sincere and authentic fear of migrant labor on Trump's part. It's all about what messages these images, because it's a television story, isn't it? Not a radio story. It's you can't do flames on the radio. It's the images that will be watched by people in Des Moines, Iowa.
Absolutely. And remember this, he's plucked people from television, including that complete moron, Pete Hegseth.
Yes.
But he was on Fox and Friends, for God's sake. Jeanine Pirro had her own TV show. He's plucking Linda McMahon, used to be chair of the World Wrestling Entertainment. That's the caliber of people he's brought into his administration. That's
the McMahons created an absolute media empire. So how is that a diss? The McMahons are like American heroes, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't know what that's meant to mean. Vince achieved things that these two clowns have never achieved. I don't know why it's such a, you know, that's just snobbery, isn't it? It's just because you don't like pro wrestling.
Not serious.
I'm from California.
Yes.
I born and raised. I was born and raised in Fresno, California, which is the heart of the Central Valley, which we have a huge Mexican population. And they are the backbone, the Mexicans, of California.
Mm.
People don't realize that, you know, one quarter of our population are Mexican. And we live in our state is unique in that it is a microcosm of America. We have every nationality, when you saw the people peacefully protesting before the military came in, you saw flags from all over the world. And that is what California is. And this is not, you know, people, this is absolutely the dehumanization of what he calls illegal immigrants. Most of these people that have been captured by ICE are, yes, they are undocumented.
Can I just say, she said, well, that's what California is, flags from all around the world. So what you're saying is, in your conception, because of its liberal values, California is not actually a place in a country. It's a no place. It's a no country. So therefore, the normal standard rules of a nation state don't apply because I'm a hippy dippy internationalist, and because I feel this way, therefore ICE shouldn't crack down. Is that like what the fuck is the logic that this woman is going on? You understand what I'm saying, right? This can't be allowed to be part of politics, because in order to be an elected representative, or in order to be a state official, you shouldn't be allowed to believe this. This is nonsense.
They pay taxes to the American government, $22 billion a year, which the red people don't even know they do that, and they've lived peacefully there. And all of a sudden, they are now criminals. These people are not criminals. I don't want...
They are criminals because they entered the country without the proper paperwork. There's no point in having paperwork if some people get like, oh, I didn't do mine, but because I've been here for a while, therefore the rules shouldn't apply to me. Oh, right. Okay. So what's the point of having the paperwork at all then? Why have any rules at all? There's me. I have to pay my taxes. I've got a driving license. I have to pay bills. Those rules apply to me, but they don't apply to people who just come in willy-nilly without the necessary paperwork. I just don't get the logic of where this woman's coming from. There is no logic, because let's face it, she's going off feelings, isn't she? She's going off feelings. Well, that's nice for her to feel good in her own kind of mind. Okay, I don't begrudge her that, but that can't be used as the basis for a country. It can't be used as a basis for a legal system. There have to be objective laws. And if you don't follow those laws, you have to face the full force of the law. Okay, now.
Drug dealers in the United States. I don't want people that are being mass murderers, but the thing is they can't find those people, so they go over the easy targets in schools, churches, hospitals. They're going over easy targets. People that have had to now give their details. They have their U.S. government has their details because they pay taxes.
And some of them, of course, are in the process of going through the legal system, which where they're getting collared by ICE at the.
Well, they give me this shit, right? If I went to, let's pretend I want, let's just pretend I'd had enough of Britain and I wanted to get out of here, and I wanted to go and live in Hungary, right? I wouldn't just turn up in Hungary and just be like, all right, I'm living here now. I'd write to the government. I'd fill out the paperwork. I'd see like, what is it, Viktor Orban, that I need to do to live in Hungary? Because, you know, I need to do things by the book, by the law, because I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't want to break the law. And if I don't do that, I expect the police to come at me. I had a speeding ticket yesterday for going 24 miles an hour through a fucking 20 miles an hour zone. All right. And like a fucking mug, I'm going to pay the £100 and take the points off my license. Because it's mugs like me that keep every fucking system going. But no, for these people over here, they don't have to do the paperwork. I'll just sneak into the country and I'll do it after the fact. When we talk about two-tier systems, why is it that some of us have to follow the law and other people just get to, like, not follow the law? Explain that to me, James O'Brien.
Facilities where the applications and situations are being processed. The American equivalent of people who send me messages about them all being...
It wasn't in Wales, right? It was in London because of that twat mayor, Sadiq Khan. At some point last year, they adjusted the cameras, right? Before, you'd get leeway. So if you're going 25 miles an hour or something, the camera wouldn't go off. You'd have to be going 30 or something. But now they've reduced it so that if you're going 24 or 23 even, that fucking camera will get you. It's not even on a road, right? That road used to be a 40 miles an hour road and they reduced it to 20 because Sadiq Khan just loves to make everybody's life a misery, okay? But it's the law. I'll pay my fine, okay? Because I abide by the law. But some people think, the law doesn't apply to me. You know, it's nice that all of you people follow rules and regulations and fill out the necessary paperwork and, you know, return your taxes on time. And you know, if you're going on holiday, you'll get your passport renewed if it needs to be renewed and you'll go through customs properly like everybody else. But no, I'll just fucking sneak across the border and get a job as an illegal cleaner. And then, I'll go through the process of having the paperwork and this twat will defend me on national TV or on radio or whatever. And some bleeding heart woman will say, here's a free lawyer. I'll come and protest on your behalf. Fucking hell. We can't have a system like this. If we're going to have laws, everybody has to abide by them. And if you don't abide by them, you have to face the consequences of those actions.
criminals, or they're all like, as you say, dehumanizing, using illegal as a noun as opposed to an adjective. It works, and I don't know that Los Angeles, or rather California, is a microcosm of the United States.
Well,
of America.
No, it is because
I knocked my mic over. All right, I knocked my mic over. Come on, breathing in, 2, 3, 4, holes, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, calm. There's another one after this as well.
I was from Fresno. Sure. I live in a very, very Republican area of California. Everybody thinks California is blue,
sure,
but it is very, very red.
But is that's traditional Republican, or is that Trumpish Republican?
No, it's half and half. It's,
okay.
it's more Trump. But the thing is, what okay. I'm saying is, we have people from Lao, we have yeah. the Hmong, we have people from all over the Japanese, a huge Chinese population in San Francisco. We do have a lot of people from different. But what I really wanted to say is that Gavin Newsom is now going to sue President Trump because he did not have permission to come into California. There was no Gavin Newsom did not give him permission to bring in. So that is that. And now I heard Gavin Newsom on a telecast today and said, we are going to have a lawsuit against the U.S. government.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that was actually, he was just in the news today, was from last night, and he was asked, and he said, because I was never asked permission.
Good Lord. Never, so, I mean, and...
Well, do you know who was never asked either? The American people. We were, and in this country, we were never asked either. So how do you like it now?
Trump will know this, or at least people like Stephen Miller will know it.
But he doesn't care.
Well, but they will, I mean, that's where the question that this morning's show hinges, isn't it? Is what does he want from this?
But he doesn't, he hates Gavin Newsom because he knows that Gavin Newsom is positioning himself to become, to run in 2028. And he...
That's not going to happen because you cannot have the positions that this woman and Gavin Newsom have and expect to run for American president. It's just a total non-starter. Even Barack Obama, even Kamala Harris didn't have this as a view. This is mental. The view that the Democrats have, where they've positioned themselves on this, is a non-starter because it's not a serious political position. You just cannot have it as your position that, oh, you can just kind of do what you want and we're not gonna crack down on it. It's not a position. And as far as I can see, they don't have a leg to stand on. Politically, Trump has absolutely killed them here. Absolutely killed them. He's forced them to be the most lolcow version of themselves possible. Newsom should have played this differently and been like, actually, President Trump, you're right. Instead of like trying to go toe-to-toe with him on this, on a hiding to nothing, he should have just said, yeah, actually, as the governor, I want to sort this out. Because people would then remember it in 2028 and be like, yeah, this guy could be the commander in chief. He's responsible for the security of the country, for the defense of the nation.
He hates our state. If you notice, in the red states like Alabama, Tennessee, places like that, they are not rounding up immigrants.
No.
And they are not taking the huge farms that are agricultural farms down there. They're not actually going in to the red states. It is the blue states. It's Massachusetts. It's us. It's Illinois. It's people that...
There's a reason for that, though. The reason is because these places are designating themselves as quote-unquote sanctuary cities. These places have degenerated to the point where they don't enforce the law. As we can see from the actual arguments that people like you are making, for the excuses that you make for the illegal immigrants. So you're basically trying to make these cities safe havens for illegals. That's why they're being targeted. That's why they're being targeted. Let's just face the facts here.
He does not like.
Is it? I mean, there's a refrain that emerged on this program in the aftermath of Brexit, and it's become a bit of a mantra, really. I don't mean you.
No.
So when you find a Trump fan who is absolutely adamant that immigrants need to be removed and deported, and you point
yes.
out to him that he's got some in his family, or that his, you know,
yes.
his children are looked after by some, or that he wouldn't be able to drink his orange juice if that was done, and then he would say, oh, I don't mean those ones. I mean the ones that Donald Trump has conjured up in my imagination. I mean the ones that are eating the cats and eating the dogs, the ones that are all members of street gangs. And that's why I think I really...
Yeah, because Donald Trump's made up the fact that there are deadly criminal gangs coming over the border and who basically run Mexico. Donald Trump made that up. It's just part of his fevered imagination. Isn't that right, James O'Brien? He just made it up. It's just made up. It's made up. Yeah? All illegal immigrants do is make orange juice for rich twats like you, isn't it? In his mind, that's all illegal immigrants do is really useful stuff. Where's that prep woman? Who will make my coffee? That's it. That's the only way he views these people.
Really focused when you said they can't find them.
No,
the
they
ones,
can't.
The emblems of threat are not non-existent, obviously, but they're so negligible in the great scheme of things that you create an emblem of threat and then you start deporting completely innocent people to feed the appetite that you have very carefully cultivated.
Well, yes, and we saw, do you know how many times, I've been here 41 years, I have been told I'm the right sort of immigrant.
Yeah.
Because I'm white and I'm from California and I'm educated. They said, you're the type of people, and I find that insulting. Because my daughter-in-law is from Lithuania. I'm very pro-Remain. I love the
Well, I think you've immigrants. Just I think you've just lost your welcome there. I mean, you're definitely not the kind of immigrant we want if you're pro-Remain.
I don't want this woman anywhere near me because she'll just wreck any town that she's part of. So you can get home, love. Get back to California with the.
But do you not follow the news, honestly? But no, I understand exactly.
I'm obviously very. Yeah, I mean, I voted to remain. I was not. I think the reform. I see in the.
I voted to remain as well. To be fair, look, I was selling a house. I was buying a house. I was worried, you know, about the house prices. Turns out, didn't need to worry, but you know.
Reform Party, many things I see in Trump's America, and that frightens me. And my own daughter-in-law said the other day, she said, my son and her may not be able to stay here if reform should get in. She says, I won't feel welcome. And I think that's a really sad commentary.
And it is another reflection of something I said earlier about us maybe being in a slightly better place at the moment, but that being far from a permanent state of affairs.
Yeah, James, I just really want to say that sad to see here in America the fall of democracy. It would seem so quickly, but
you'd go.
Does James O'Brien just handpick his callers? How is every single person who calls into this show a shitlib?
That far,
first 4 years were a test.
Yeah, okay.
I 100% agree. I think it is the fall of some of democracy. Maybe not in the form of we don't have voting and stuff of that nature, but I feel like the reality of what people believe is democracy is falling in front of our eyes.
What does he want then? What is his? Is his?
And another thing, how can it be the position of any of the parties that illegal should be able to vote? Illegal should not be able to vote. This is absurd. What's the point of being a citizen?
Plan. I mean, I think we just pinned down something quite important with regard to the rule of law. He doesn't think that he should be prevented by anybody or anything from doing anything that he wants. In terms of how that dream is fulfilled by what we're seeing now, he brings enough of the population with him to the idea that he can do whatever he wants to protect them against this manufactured, exaggerated, confected threat. I don't know that bit of the...
It's not manufactured. It's not exaggerated. 20 million people in 4 years, James O'Brien. 6 million in this country. It's not made up. Keir Starmer, 3 weeks ago. Listen to his speech.
Jigsaw, do you?
I see it as a ploy for him to gain more control over his base because they might be questioning their Republican belief of small government and a economy that can work for them. They should be able to make money and spend it and live a life that they see as what a Republican belief can give them. And Trump's not bringing that anymore. And he's pushing for, I mean, full control. He wants power.
So he has to move quite fast because the economic lies are being found out in real time and they're unfolding in front. And people will notice this, whether it's something as outwardly trivial as the price of eggs or whether it's international trade figures. People will notice that he's not delivering any of the things he promised to deliver. So he needs to make another promise. And to make a promise of protection, he needs a threat. And despite the fact that no one in California has asked him to send in the National Guard, and the LAPD are already behaving in ways that are quite alien to you.
Just a quick on-air fact check. The average price of a dozen eggs in America is currently $2.52, a decrease from the peak of $6.22 in March. So that's a decrease from $6.22 in March to $2.52 now in June. So, I mean, what are you talking about, James O'Brien? The price of eggs are going down, aren't they? Obviously.
UK observers... that is because he's lying about Gavin Newsom doing nothing, and that's why he then has to do this thing. It's very ugly. It's very, very ugly. How do you think it's going to end?
I mean, I didn't think he was going to get voted again. I think, to be honest...
Sorry to do this on-air fact check, but this is just insane. Price of eggs, under Biden, they went up. They had a peak in March, and then they've done that. So, again, what are you talking about? If I was an American, I would notice that. And I'd be like, yeah. So the line's gone in the right way. And, I mean, surely you'd notice the difference between $6 and $2. No pushback from anybody on air, you see? There's no countervailing voice. There's no fact checker. There's nobody there to stop this twat just delivering bilge on air daily.
Mystic belief of the majority is the minority is for the people that are feeling this the most. I mean, I thought I was the majority. I thought I was level-headed. I thought I could tell my parents to not vote for Trump and they would understand because their daughter is married to an immigrant. Their grandchild is of immigrant descent, and his grandparents on the other side are considered illegal immigrants, but they've been here for 40 years.
Wow.
And yet they still voted. And I've after the first 4 years of having great arguments with my dad, I had to put it to the back burner because I thought my relationship with my parents was more than politics. And
of course,
to be truthful, this is hard because this is, what future do we have with what we...
You could try not being a shitlib, mate. It would help. If you're a shitlib watching this, stop being a shitlib.
See now. The Republican Party is so far right. The Democratic Party is kind of like, I mean, I don't know
well, what they're, party no, they're
in England, but it's like, exactly. I mean, they're like the, what is it? It's not...
Business going on there, but do these scenes make people step down? Do these scenes say, hang on a minute, I didn't sign up for this?
No, this just pushes the people further. Whoa. Unfortunately, it's gonna the people who already voted for Trump already realize that they were voting for something that even they can't see what comes next, but they're also voted for, to be truthful, a sad belief that the white American people are getting pushed out.
Yeah,
they're getting left behind, and it's a false narrative.
Well, it's true in the sense that the distribution of wealth is obscene, but it's the people who were sitting behind Donald Trump at his inauguration who are most responsible for that. It's not your niece or nephew's grandparents. And that's another area of ignorance for many UK people. Idiot's Corner, not that busy today, but someone's just said, imagine someone broke into your house and you would want them to be removed. No, you fail to understand the kind of people that Trump is now targeting. Imagine someone broke into your house and looked after it for you for 40 years, mowed the lawns, polished the floors, did the furniture, maybe even kind of fixed your car.
Yeah, they still broke in, James. I'm not convinced by your shit-lib argument. They still broke in and therefore must face the law.
So it's a stupid argument, this, but of course it's also...
They broke in, James O'Brien. They didn't have the necessary paperwork. They came on a boat. They can get back on a boat.
So very effective and very powerful, which is why the most depressing thing Max said is that scenes like this, scenes that you would once have associated with authoritarian dictatorship, are unfolding on the streets of what is still a democracy, and the people who voted for it will not be perturbed. Doesn't mean he's right. He's just one man.
Personally, I'm from the United States. I've been in Ireland for now 20 years. I have a 18-year-old son.
Gosh.
And I'm loved that I escaped the ridiculousness of that country. And I love my family, but at the same time, I had to leave them there as well.
Yeah.
And be quite candid, between COVID, the politics, and even pre-Trump, and I'm not talking about all of the mess, I'm just talking about the way the world seemed to go. But as far as her question, your producer asked me, what does Trump want?
Yeah,
he wants a white America, dude. He wants a 1971 television show with Gilligan and the Skipper and...
Yeah, when America was actually like a nice place. He remembers America being a nicer place, and he wants it to be a nicer place again. And other people also remember that, or they've seen footage of it, or they've seen it on TV and in movies, and they can't quite believe how nice it used to be and what a fucking mess it is now. Oh, what a monster. Oh, how terrible is that? You know, what I really want is my high street turned into vape stores. What I really want is the native population replaced with, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry from around the entire world. And for the streets to be less safe than they used to be. That's what I want. Isn't that right, bloke who hates America?
Marianne, and he wants the good black friend, and he wants Chico and the Man. And he wants a quieted down immigration system where everybody is watching TV. This man never read a book. He watched television.
Mm.
And he ate fried chicken. And he looked at Colonel Sanders. He's an idiot. And it's interesting that you guys seem to give him credit for thinking so much. He does not think. He's a salesman and a manipulator. And let's be honest, he's in the field of television. So look what he's already done.
Yeah.
And he's already manipulated this Abrego.
So I mean, the thing is with people like this, I just don't understand. Like, why are they defending what is now? Because nobody can take a walk in any town in this country or in America now and say with their hand on their heart, oh, yeah, this is way better than it was in 1971. This area has been absolutely improved. But and enriched by the quote unquote diversity, by the graffiti, by the vandalism, by the inability to maintain gardens and paint fences. Oh, it's absolutely been improved by horrible, tacky signs that replace the nice old signs that people used to have when people that cared about aesthetic, you know, little things like aesthetics. So I don't understand where these people come, like where they're coming from when they defend what is. You're an apologist for degradation, essentially. Why is my question? Why do you defend it? Now you could say, well, Trump's vision is retrograde, but it's still a better vision than the one you've got. Because what you're selling me is tripe. And where everybody can see it's tripe. It's miserable. I wrote an article yesterday about my trip into Feltham when I had to pick up a package from UPS. read my description of that road on Feltham and the UPS office and tell me why you're defending that. Anyway, should we do any more? There's one more. Let's do it. Come on. We're in for the long haul.
How many times have I said to you, God, I hope I'm wrong? How many times have I started talking to you about events that seem to be profoundly important? And because they're unfolding in, most recently, the United States and not, for example, in Beijing or in Vladimir Putin's Russia or in some other, shall we say, less evolved democracy, you sort of think it can't be happening there. It couldn't happen here. But these are the moments. You have a American president sending the National Guard. And the footage looked like something out of a Hollywood film. I don't know if you saw it, but the armed vehicles, I would call them tanks, that may not be technically correct, on the back of railway trucks being bussed towards Los Angeles at the request of precisely nobody in Los Angeles, up to and including the governor of the state, Gavin Newsom, himself now threatened with arrest by Trump's so-called border czar, and guns being fired, journalists being...
It's not that unusual. There have been riots in America going back 100 years. In this country, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I remember the riot police being out in 2011 in London when they were burning. You remember that guy stole the bag of rice when they were looting? Why are they making such a big deal out of this?
Being shot. Americans shooting Americans. I mean, elements of it are not completely unprecedented, but the two factors that seem to me to be close to historic are the absence of any request from the governor and the relish among Trump's closest circle, and clearly in the case of Trump himself, the relish for violence. Those are the two things. So on a constitutional or a political level, the governor hasn't asked for this. And on a political or social level,
the governor didn't ask for it because he doesn't believe in America as a country. He didn't ask for it because he's probably guilty of treason and needs to be arrested himself. So there's that, isn't there?
Trump and his acolytes really, really want the violence. And that, of course, throws up a really weird question of whether or not some of these protesters are playing directly into the fascistic fever dreams of the US president, whether or not some of these protesters...
Yeah, because if you crack down on violent protests, you're a fascist now. I notice he didn't call Justin Trudeau a fascist when he cracked down on the truckers' protests during COVID. That wasn't fascistic. They weren't. James O'Brien was not calling the German state fascistic when it threatened to ban the AfD a couple of weeks back. It ended up not happening, of course. That wasn't fascist. But if you try to keep illegal immigrants out of your country and then crack down on violent protests that protest that, that is fascist, according to James O'Brien. So, like, how are we defining fascism? Fascism is, in James O'Brien's definition, when my enemies use power. When I use power, that is liberal democracy. That is upholding and protecting democracy. When Justin Trudeau uses power, or when the German state uses power, or when Keir Starmer sticks people in jail for making tweets, that is defending democracy. But when Trump does it, that's fascism, folks. That's how word work. That is how these words work.
And of course, the more violent the protests become, the more the sick appetites of people who crave violence will be met, are actually, in some sense, delivering what Donald Trump wants. And that's why I find myself thinking, not for the first time, what's the plan? Downtown Los Angeles appears to be absolute pandemonium and close to lawless. The president, I would say, is deliberately fomenting a situation that is becoming rapidly much, much worse than it was previously. That, it seems to me...
So you're faced with the lawless streets, so you don't try to crack down on it. What's your solution then? What should happen then in this scenario, James O'Brien? If it's already close to lawlessness, what's your solution? Well?
Is why this feels like a, quote, moment, end quotes. This feels like a tipping point, or at least a point of teetering. The president wants violence on the streets of Los Angeles. He probably wants death. We know that journalists are being shot, and we know that the what would you call it? The client media is...
It's just not true, is it? He doesn't want violence. What he wants is to bring a swift end to these things by cracking down on them. And it has worked. I was reading the BBC just before I came on air, and calling in the National Guard and the Marines has massively dispersed the crowds. And now they're down to like a core of activists. So it's worked. Because guess what? That's why riot police exist. That's why there is a National Guard. That's why there's, to use a Marxist phrase, a repressive state apparatus. Because when the soft power fails, then you use the hard power. And states have been doing this since there have been states. It's not that difficult. You just don't like it because it's your enemy who's wielding the power, and you see these pro-illegal immigrant protesters as political friends. That's the only reason that you dislike it. If it was the quote unquote far right, or when it was doing Southport, you were cheering it on. I remember you. Did Keir Starmer want violence in the streets when he did that? You tell me. Because it was exactly the same situation. Actually, it wasn't exactly the same, because the Southport guys only turned over a couple of bins. These guys have been burning cars and jumping up and down and wrecking places. They're way more damage than the Southport protesters did. But you were ready to throw the book at them. You hypocrite.
Ramping up for what's pretty close to a celebration. I want to play you a couple of things. I want to play you some footage of a journalist being shot, and she's not the only one. This is Lauren Tomasi, the US correspondent for the Australian television station Channel 9. She works for 9 News.
Why are you laughing and jumping up and down? These protesters love jumping up and down on the top of cars. I've noticed they do it a lot in America, certainly, especially ones of a certain stripe. They love the jump up and down, and I don't know why.
This is happening in the United States of America today. This isn't footage from history. This isn't an old Pathé news reel. This isn't happening in Tiananmen Square or a country we might more readily associate with totalitarian. It's not General Galtieri's Argentina. It's not Pinochet's Chile. It's Donald Trump's America.
You could have said it's not Stalin's Russia. It's not like, notice how all his examples are right-wing examples. It's not Castro's Cuba, you know. It's not Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe. It's not, Peronist Argentina. Like, why were all his examples right-wing? Never punch left, eh, James?
After hours of standing off, this situation has now rapidly
don't know what's going on. Lost images again.
That seem to be...
Right. Oh, we don't get the images. Oh, I've had enough. We don't get the images. All right. I think that'll do. Right. Let us hit some super chats. I don't know why it's not working, but I thought they were going to show the images, but they're not. Okay. Mel Gibson after 4 beer says, notice though, where is BLM during all of this? Yeah, it's almost like BLM was a kind of one season astroturf, wasn't it? So it's almost like BLM was just a kind of, stormtroopers for the state, rent-a-mob. Eyes That Watch 69 says, when is Deepest Lord back? Deepest Lord is back tomorrow, sir, 12 p.m. Christian Troy says, the e-grifters will move on to something else next week. As usual, this is a big nothing burger. The Geezer 30 says, I hope you had a grand day out last Friday in my hometown. The gathering was fruitful for you. I saw you milling about in your dapper beige suit whilst I was at work, both you and Carl. Will the Heterodox Centre be putting out any vids of the event? All the best, and thanks for the work you put in. Well, it was being filmed, so maybe. Coney says, why in God's name do you want Rupert Lowe as Tory leader? I want the Conservative Party to shrivel up and die. I don't want it to be revived. Well, I explained my thoughts in the video earlier on, Coney. I don't want to repeat all my arguments there. Coney also says, these LA riots are overblown in proportion. They're making them look worse than they are. So they can convince red state Americans to accept AI facial recognition drones to be used on Americans. Yeah, there is that Palantir kind of idea going on. Grade says the oath is against foreign and domestic. Correct. Coney says Drupka is right. Gavin Newsom does look like a corrupt state governor villain in a 1980s sci-fi film set in a near future 2020s California. Yes. I've just remembered something. Hold on. I meant to do super thanks, aren't I, first? Super thanks first. Oh, no. Okay, well, I'll just remember. It was Coney I left off on. Let's do the super thanks first. Hold on a minute. Super thanks. How do I do this from super thanks? All right. Let's see where we were 7 days ago. We have got from last week's office hours when I reviewed Alistair Campbell and Rory Stewart. Firestorm says, on Winterfell, rich or high-income pensioners should not get it. It's there to stop them freezing to death or ending up in hospital, not to supplement P&O crew's balance sheets, and the country is broke. Okay, fair enough. He also says, on Rory Stewart smiling, it looks like a pseudo-bulbar effect to me. It could be benign, or he might have a brain tumour or early-onset dementia. It does seem like kind of non-voluntary, doesn't it? It seems like he's kind of almost got a compulsion to make those kind of monkey faces that he does. JD Carroll says, a few months ago, this is on, did a secret agency really control the civil rights revolution? That's the CRS video that I'll be talking to Aaron McIntyre about tomorrow night. He says, a few months ago, I saw a stream where you pondered the feasibility of whether market demand is somewhat astroturfed and cited the top-down pushing of vegan products in supermarkets and among other examples. Whilst reading Jeffrey Miller's book Spent in 2009, I came across something that you may not be aware of. The author suggests that there were 6 global media conglomerates responsible for this type of social engineering. Time Warner, Disney, News Corp, Vivendi Universal, Bertelsmann and Viacom. Granted, much time has passed since 2009, with all this information may be of interest to you. Have read all of your books except the big expensive one I aim to purchase later this year. Thank you for your insights and value-free analysis. Well, thank you very much, Judy Carroll. That's very interesting. I will try to remember that book by Jeffrey Miller, Spent. Sounds interesting. Studio Rayner on Cigar Stream 18148 on Christian nationalism from a very long time ago says it really depends which Christianity you're talking about. The Catholic Church has a terrible historical record and emerged from the ashes of hedonistic Western Rome. The Orthodox Church allowed the Eastern Roman Empire to survive another millennium. Honestly, I wouldn't mind returning to classical ancient gods of Europe. Zionism has ruined the church. I'm reminded, I spent a few days with Carl last week because we were out doing stuff, and a large portion of it, there was a group of young Catholic Zoomers who were there trying to convert Carl. And Carl, who may have had a couple of drinks, was like, I'm not converting. I believe in the Sky Father. He's like, I've read Julius Evola and I'm into the Sky Father. And I did say a number of times, like, I've read Julius. I don't remember Evola ever talking about the Sky Father. So that was an interesting conversation to listen to. This also by Rayner, The Complete Guide to Thomas Sowell's Books, including a top 10. He says, I appreciate Thomas Sowell's work more than Milton Friedman's because his work is more tailored for an individual to utilize rather than a collective. He does a great job at outlining how the US introduced economic incentives that broke apart black and later white families. The resolution is marriage outside the state, as it provides greater economic and social advantages compared to marriage within the state. Sowell clearly explains it, but the reader must come to this conclusion sometimes. Since if he stated the solution, then it would directly threaten the monopoly the US government has on family disputes. There's still a lot of great stuff in Sowell, even though many of us have kind of quote unquote moved beyond his limitations. What he has got there is a lot of very solid work. Also, Rayner, on the lecture that was from 2003, Cyclical History's 10 Biggest Lessons for a Better Future, everybody was saying that that jacket looks quite big. And then I wore it again the other day and somebody sent me a message saying, yeah, that jacket is too big for you. It's kind of annoying because that jacket was tailored. That particular jacket was actually tailored by a real tailor using actual measurements and so on. And it's fucking massive. So I don't know what happened there. Anyway, Rayner says, how do you write a book about Prophets of Doom without mentioning Oppenheimer? He said, now I am become Death, the destroyer of worlds. Well, as far as I'm aware, Studio Rayner, Oppenheimer was not a cyclical theorist. And The Prophets of Doom is a book about cyclical history. So that's why Oppenheimer was not one of the 11 people I talk about in that book. I did originally have a group of about 30 people I wanted to write about, including people like Christopher Peter Hitchens and Nostradamus. There were tons of people. Jeremiah from the Bible, Cassandra. I had tons and tons of people in there. But the process of writing the book whittled it down to the 11 I ended up writing on. So it was actually an incredibly well-considered list of 11 that included many, many hours of research by me and back and forth with the publisher, who wanted more modern thinkers, because I didn't originally, I was like, right, I'm going to cut it off at Glubb. Glubb is going to be like the most modern person I talk about. They wanted modern people in there. And so I included Tainter and I included Turchin. And then, you know, eventually they agreed to those two. But there were lots of people I could have talked about. Who's that one? The Icarus woman. The one that Douglas Murray talks about, like, you know, that was a possibility. But yeah, I'm glad I stuck with the 11. I kind of stuck to my guns a little bit. The decline of the elites is encountered by the steady increase in technological advancements since the atom bomb. Elites can now be replaced by AI. We live in a civilization that can cause enough destruction to send human back to the Stone Age. The Samson option and the dead hand explicitly threaten the world. Why have a world without our civilization? I fail to comprehend why intellectuals can't conclude that the industrial age's survival is solely due to chance. Do you have a better explanation? I can't consider everything you've said there, Studio Rayner, right now. First of all, I'd have to understand fully what you're saying. And then I'd have to think about what I think about that, which I cannot do, over the course of a couple of minutes of a stream. Graydon says, this was on the demoralization, what Yuri Beznov didn't tell you. One of my all-time greatest hits. Radon says, I'll just add an amendum to that last bit. Antifa is obviously a paid organization, as we have recently discovered. They don't actually believe what they push. It makes you wonder how many people are, quote-unquote, in on the joke. Makes you wonder if there are true believers. Indeed, Graydon. Studio Rayner on The Deepest Law 22, Propaganda Part 1, For and Against Women's Suffrage. Another very old stream. From about four years ago, if memory serves. I've always thought that the credit for women's suffrage and feminism belongs solely to women due to biological advantages over men. When a man doubts himself, whether he's an elite or poor woman, they notice and will always use opportunity to gain more control over the man. The wives of elite men were most in favour of using GDP growth as an incentive for feminism, to make it harder for another woman to compete. Perhaps make a video on women's elite theory, since it didn't consider how elite women tend to always have one goal, making it more challenging for other women to compete. I mean, there has been quite a lot of red pill work done in this area. From the top of my head, probably F. Roger Devlin's Sexual Utopia book and the Guillaume Fay one on sexual deviancy. Those two books are probably the best ones on this topic, and I'm not sure if I'd have too much else to add to what they've said, to be honest. Also, Rayner, on Cigar Stream 165, does money have power? Studio Rayner, is there any method to your madness? There's no... It's not you're going through these in order. They're from all over the place. They're from, like, you know, there's one from 4 years ago, one from like 2 years ago, one from, you know, the out 10 years ago. He says, does money have power? The value of its citizenship determines the value of a nation's money. A Japanese passport is ranked like second in that citizens of Japan can travel to most countries without a visa. This is despite Japan having an absurd debt-to-GDP ratio. Money cannot be valued in the absence of the value of the citizen. For example, if I can buy a British passport for 200 grand, and that would be completely legal. So a British citizen is worth 200 grand on average. You can buy an American passport for $5 million. So an American citizen is worth $5 million on average, and so on. Developed nations that don't sell citizenship directly or indirectly are uncommon. Okay, interesting. I'd be surprised if it's really true if a British citizen is worth 200 grand, or indeed if an American is worth 5 million. The importance of natural law, an ancient video dredged up by the necromancer Studio Rayner. I mean, I think that's a 2016 video. Or 2007. I mean, since when have I talked about natural law? It was a very long time ago. He says natural law should be explainable in less than a minute. It's more bizarre to try to rationalize faith. Replacing consciousness with faith yields the same result. The term consciousness itself seems to cause doubt. You can't understand your existence without faith in a creator. Doubting faith is doubting your existence. Natural law extends collective faith. When the collective faith fails to recognize the same creator, infighting emerges and religion is established. In essence, natural law begins with faith and breaks down if the collective faith is doubted. I mean, I'm more inclined to believe that natural law just doesn't exist, personally, at this point. You know, it's a nice idea, but ultimately, is it true? And, well, I mean, I look at the history of the world and think probably it's all just made up. The dark truth about Spielberg's movies revealed, Mad Mongrel says. American viewer since around 2019 here. Oh, well, thanks for watching, a Mad Mongrel. He says, thanks for all you do and all the insightful content over the years. Looking forward to the Robin Williams video. Would love to hear your thoughts on Jumanji. I recently rewatched it for the first time in decades with my children. And ironically, it must be in the top 10 most based movies ever. Okay. I'll take your word for it, because I'm not sure if I'm going to rewatch Jumanji. I'm also not sure if that Robin Williams video was going to be made, because as always, I had a very busy week last week and I was away and so on. And I've come back with a ton of stuff grayed out. You know, just before I left, I was going hell for leather on Twitter, attacking boomer icon Jean-Luc Picard, whose antics in Star Trek The Next Generation actually make my blood boil. I think Picard is an absolute boomer in all ways. And I really love to shine a light on how boomery Rayner is, right? Sorry, not Rayner. Sorry, I was looking at Rayner. How boomery Picard is. But of course, it grayed out. I came back and I've now got no desire to do that video. So if I don't strike while the iron's hot, the video never gets made. And I fear the Robin Williams video is graying out. It's graying out. It's graying out. Old school monarchist on Winston Churchill, why so important, says, I avoid criticizing another country's history and the outcome of World War II was uncertain. Marx critiqued capitalism as religious rather than an economic phenomenon. Had Germany, Japan, or Britain succeeded in their nuclear programs before the US, the world wars would have ended differently. FDR was a terrible president, and despite our nuclear advantage, we did not, quote-unquote, win. Only the British Empire could have meaningfully won the world wars. The Industrial Revolution was British, and the British people had the best chance to establish a religious order compatible with the industrial world, especially for monistic faiths. It's a tragedy of incomprehensible nature. Although I will say, in the interests of balance and fairness, I would say the British Empire was kind of done after World War One. I mean, it was kind of going in name, and it still had a lot of territory under its, in the 1930s and so on. It was still like big on paper, but it was on its ass basically, even before World War Two. So, you know, it's like. Yes, Churchill could have done a lot of things differently, but it's not like solely his fault that the British Empire collapsed, basically. Rayner says, it's worth noting, this is on the last week's Deepest Lore, reviewing Adam Curtis, the Bitter Lake one. He said, it's worth noting that every successful state in the Middle East was formed by elites who despised the European modernity. I'd even include Israel, as European elites view Israel's colonialism as primitive compared to neoliberalism. Communism was never a genuine threat to capitalism. The actual danger, at least ideologically, has always been a rejection of modernity itself. That is true. And a very good book on this is Jihad versus Muck World by Barber, I think the name of the guy is. We did a whole stream on that once. And if you have a look in the back catalogue, we did a whole stream on that book, Jihad versus Muck World. You Are the Virus, a video made during COVID times, behind the paywall. The managerial state, says Rayner, was a reactionary force to the emergence of WMDs. If we choose not to consume Chinese junk, useless universities in the status quo, we could have done a better system. But there's a market now for complaining about how things are on YouTube, reinforcing the notion that this is the status quo. Isn't that ironic? I'm not sure if the managerial state was a reaction to WMDs, Studio Rayner. It's not. It's really a kind of natural development with the expansion of mass and scale. It's not the crucial factor isn't WMDs, it's mass and scale. John Lister says, smoke alarm chirping and eating Chicos directly into the mic. Definitely the worst UO so far. This is a super chat on Unpopular Opinions, Season 3, Episode 12. Is Theresa May worse than Skeletor? Which is an... I mean, Theresa May was the Prime Minister during that episode. There's a whole industry of super thanking necromancers now going into the back catalogue from behind the paywall. And that's saying something, considering Season 1, Episode 9 exists. Previous episode was an absolute banger, though. Well, what, maybe when John Lister has finished his way all the way through Unpopular Opinions, he could give us like a top 20, right? It's Season 1, Episode 9, terrible episode according to Lister, but Season 3, Episode 11, that was fantastic. Maybe we'll get like a top 10 once he's finished, because I can't bloody remember any of them. Ken Nahara on what Milton Friedman could teach Elon Musk about the failure of Doge. He says, China seems to be in a similar state to America, but what I don't see Western leaders fully understanding is that China has a long history of falling into civil war. When a civil war occurs, it will entirely depend on whether the USA and Russia can intervene. From our perspective, the USA and its stability is impressive and necessary, and it will likely continue within the coming decades. Both Western and Russian nuclear doctrines do not consider the possibility of the state attacking itself, which is highly likely concerning China. I mean, the USA does not look that stable from where I'm sitting, but, you know, maybe China's even less stable. From where I'm sitting, China looks more stable than the USA. From where Ken Nahara is sitting, I believe in Japan, maybe it looks very different. But, you know, China is very opaque to us here. We don't get to see the internals goings on. We don't really like understand anything about it. Whereas we see American news in tedious detail. So there's a visibility and an information problem there because it's asymmetrical. You know, we see what happens in America. We don't see what happens in China. Tony Blair's Hands of Power, another old video. Willie McCannon says, is it possible to learn this power? Not from a Jedi. Did a secret agency really control the civil rights revolution? That was the CRS video from last week. Sepha Lapodo says, he says, would you say that all societies have a regime, as you and other base commentators use the term, i.e. a shadow government? And what would you say would be a good checklist of items one would have to uncover the identity of the regime of their country beyond the theoretical authorities are? Not all societies have a regime in that sense. When we talk about the regime, we're talking about the permanent bureaucracy, the permanent civil service, the permanently unelected elites who basically carry on regardless of who's in office, basically. Right? That's what we talk about as the regime. And not all places have one or indeed had one, but there's a very identifiable regime in the West, you know, and you can probably go like Justin Trudeau is regime through and through as an example. So is Mark Carney. John Lister, this is on UO, Unpopular Opinions, Season 3, Episode 14, the Over 30s Club, Over 30s Only Club. And he said, what British has said about the Roman elites importing armies of slaves to take power away from the plebeians after they went on strike got me thinking, does this have parallels with our elites using mass immigration against the British lower classes? Absolutely it does, John Lister. And if you buy my best-selling book, The Populist Illusion, and turn to the chapter on Bertrand de Juvenel, I discuss the high-low-middle mechanism as a permanent strategy of power. That's the high, low, middle mechanism, where power uses client groups to attack rival castles. In this case, that means the elites using outside groups, foreigners, minorities, to attack you, the people in the middle classes, the working classes, the rival castle. Anglo Stone says, on that same CRS video from last week. I'd also add that a more recent root cause is the broadcasting of national or even international arrests. Public confidence in law is formed by experience with law, not by observing law. I lack direct experience to support your academic status or the merit of your work. The internet allows me to form theories based on observation, as lack of experience naturally triggers our survival mechanism to doubt. Apply this primal instincts to media about elites, academics, and news. The only conclusion is that it provides value in the form of entertainment, not value in the form of experience. I view my mayor superior to Musk or Trump because I've had direct experience with his administration of my county. It is difficult to explain, but I hope you understand what I mean. Yep, I do understand what you're talking about. I do. And I would say for a lot of people, that would hold true. Not all, though. Not all. Me, it does not hold true for. As a someone who thinks about ideas first and who is an academic, the experience is neither here nor there, because I understand that it's just one data point. It's anecdotal. It's not representative necessarily. You know, and I aim to be value free. So it's not always the case, but I understand it to be true of many people. Why Rupert Lowe should lead the Tory party now? Pator says against vibes, against cope, against captive dreams. Well, I don't think my video was vibes or cope or captive dreams. Watch it again. I laid out four different scenarios, and I said of those four, the scenario with Lowe taking over the Tory party is the best one. On the same video, Ornithology Rock says, while allowing T-1000 to reform would leave a bad taste in my mouth, I suppose it's the best case scenario. If Lowe as Tory leader turned wet, he would still at least act as a roadblock to the reform conservative play, thanks to the bad blood between him and Nige. Exactly. Possibly zero seating both reform and the conservatives. The long term would also likely destroy Labour. Excellent. Although I think the Tories would win in that scenario, not be zero seated. Ken's a culture on the same video about Rupert Lowe says, thanks. Lowe's speech on the gangs was blistering. I like this idea. I might vote for him. Farage was never a goer. He displays far too much duper's delight to invite trust. Well, I'm glad somebody's singing from the same hymn sheet already. Ken, Dan Arthur says, hi. I watched the full interview with Gove, and while I thought Lowe spoke brilliantly on many issues, and I thoroughly enjoy his normal posting, a couple of things did worry me a little. I can somewhat forgive his boomer clinging to race-blind meritocracy, but the overheaping of praise on Thatcher, as well as his seeming love for Ayn Rand, concern me a little. I've come to deeply distrust Rand worshippers, which the deepest lore on Curtis's Rand documentary only reinforced. Do you have any reassurances to this point, and how much do you think his few flaws will impact his ability to do what needs to be done? Yeah, I mean, I hear you, right? I hear you that Randians are a bit fucking nuts, right? But in this case, it's not a problem. And I made a tweet about this earlier on, which I shall repeat. Oh, by the way, while I'm on my Twitter, I'll just share my screen. Before I came on air, I made these two polls. Is Nigel Farage fake and gay or authentic and the real deal? 95% said he's fake and gay. Less than 5% said he's authentic. Is Rupert Lowe fake and gay? Yes. 80% said he's the real deal. Right? Big difference. Big difference. That's why it has to be Lowe and not Nige. But let me just find my tweet on the Rand point, because a number of people have brought that up. I wrote, Lowe's Randianism is not an issue, as Randians tend to be pretty belligerent. There's a Nietzschean will to power element in the John Galt idea. It is not a problem, right? If Lowe is going to do this, he needs to be a man of principle and a man of tremendous willpower. And you can say what you want about Randians, and they are a fucking pain in the ass, and I don't particularly love them, but they tend to be people of that stripe, people with will, people with determination, people who aren't going to let the fact that they're adopting an unpopular opinion sway them, people who aren't going to be easily bullied or dissuaded, because that's the sort of man it's going to take. And I see it in Lowe. I see it in him. He's strong. And what he needs to make that transformation happen and usher in a base new generation of new conservatives, of new right-wingers, whatever you want to put it, a new generation of people who aren't going to do things in the same boomery way of old. I think Lowe's the man to do it. Far more than Nigel, far more than Boris, far more than any of the other people currently there, the man is Lowe. Okay, let's carry on. Did a secret agency really control the civil rights revolution? That's the CRS video. George Severance says, I am positive that the hole is deeper. It's worse than cultural subversion. Whole events have been staged, sometimes with crisis actors, to promote foreign policy objectives and justify increases in state power. Unfortunately, many friends still consider this conspiracy theory territory, but I would urge them to keep an open mind. If it could be proven and demonstrated a large swathe of the population, it would delegitimize the regime overnight. But we know power doesn't allow rival castles. I mean, the benefit of the information I gave in the CRS video is that they wrote it down themselves in a book called America's Peacemakers, which is freely available online. So you can go and look it up if you don't believe me. On the same video, same super chatter, George Severance says, related to cultural subversion, we also had our own taxpayer-funded media blitz to push people towards progressive globalist views. The Full Monty, East is East, Billy Elliot, Slumdog Millionaire. All these films came out during New Labour and were funded by the state, either through the BBC or Channel 4. All massively hyped at the time in the press, only to be mostly forgotten now, particularly Billy Elliot. I remember, George, I was around. Billy Elliot was on every bus stop, every bus, every billboard. It was massive, that thing, while it was being pushed. The boomers loved it. Even my dad, who would have been regarded as a homophobe and a racist, he had these films on a VHS. Boomer psyop. I believe that was part of the Blair, of a kind of Blair psyop, all of that sort of stuff. Especially, I mean, it's not just them. Remember, in John Major's Britain, all the comedies were dreary, really dreary. It was like Trainspotting. I think Full Monty was Major era. But remember, they were all unemployed. It was feel good, but the Britain that it showed was shit. When Blair came in, all of that changed overnight, and it was Notting Hill, and it was Love Actually, and it was like that kind of romanticized London that doesn't really exist. You know, everybody just works in a bookshop or something, you know. Martin Greer says, would this count as killing the Tory party? This is on the Rupert Lowe video from earlier. If not, why should we support it? Their entire history of that of betraying their base by containing all right-wing energy. Why wouldn't they be able to do it to him too? They would just give up and go along with him? Or would they go out of their way to frustrate any action he tries to take? Well, here's the thing. If this was to happen, it would have to be like a proper takeover of the party. The Thatcher takeover of the Tories in the mid 70s, late 70s, quite a bit, right? You could say, but she still achieved quite a bit, and she changed the party. Thatcher did, to the extent where, you know, there's still her shadow over the party. Okay, basically Rupert Lowe would have to do the same thing. And every Cameron Easter, every Wet would have to be told, look, for the good of this party, which is about to be destroyed, you either get with the program or you're out. Okay? And if you cannot commit to these, if they go against your liberal values or whatever, you're out. You're going to be replaced with someone who's not fake and gay like you. You're going to be replaced with the real deal. Because otherwise, as I said in the video, the Tories are going to be an ex-parrot. So, you know, since they have no principles to appeal to, maybe the ultimate disciplining element will be the self-interest of not destroying the most successful political party in history, in the history of the world, not just of Britain. Let us carry on. So back to the super chats. Friendom in Church says, I apologize for bringing it up, but it kind of looks like you and Aaron were each correct about your respective leftists. I will say that the Democrat Party has shown a complete inability to moderate. It looks like they were thinking about it, but they're just too far gone, because this California situation was a perfect opportunity for Gavin Newsom to not be mental, and he chose the route of being mental, unfortunately. Dave says, my money is on Trump if this ends up being in a ring. Yeah, absolutely. Anti-Human says, why do Israelis have right to return to every EU country, but only them? Should I just make up my ancestry? I don't know the ins and outs of Israeli rights, I'm afraid. Dark Fox says, what's your take on Kanzuk? Seems trendy in Canada. For some reason, that phrase Kanzuk just, it's too close to cuck, isn't it? It sounds like cuckold. It sounds like cuck. Christian Troy says, ironically, LAPD is 50% Hispanic. Adrian J says, I can't believe the left is letting Trump, the BLM, deal with the BLM riots correctly. Rebecca Elston says, the majority of California is Hispanic. Protests with them flying the Mexican flag are incredibly common. This protest stands out as nothing special, sadly. Yep. Base Future says, Auron had better concede tomorrow. 1992, we are BTFP. I don't think we're going to be talking about Cigar Slam. We're going to be talking about, it's going to be a very business-like appearance tomorrow, because we're talking about a very serious topic, which is the Community Relations Service, which we think that the Trump administration needs to act on. And in fact, these riots in LA have given the perfect pretext to basically defund and destroy the CRS. Peter says, AA, call in to the next LBC O'Brien show. I don't think my blood pressure could handle the wait, because you have to wait and listen to the show, don't you? Ornithology Rock says, if the people in these interviews are at all representative as a sample of the American diaspora in the UK, they all need to be deported too. I know. Tell me about it. Aragon the King says, anti-white ideology or race treachery among whites will be a thing of the past this century. The more they push, the more they will rebound with the opposite. Yes, that's true. It's a basic law of the universe that if you push too hard in one direction, you will get an equal and opposite resistance. And if you resist, you will actually manifest the opposite of that. That is absolutely just a fact of the universe. Enrico Palacio. I mean, it's occurred to me more than once that the left have squealed so much and so long and so hard about fascism, right, that they may actually bring it into existence through their own bizarre collective pathologies. And the same could even be true of, even quote-unquote worse than fascism, because they don't stop thinking about it, and they don't stop thinking about resisting it. The more that you think about things and the more that you try to resist things, the more you bring them into existence. This is just how the world works. Enrico Palacio says, they've lost the mandate of heaven. Look at how much they go on about the mustache man. Right? Look at how much they've gone on about that. And now they've actually brought about conditions where you've got it's happening in an insane way, but you've got like Kanye West coming out with literally, singles called Heil Hitler. I mean, it's just crazy. Anyway, Enrico Palacio says they've lost the mandate of heaven. Not that they ever had one that was enforced by a coercive justice system. They've lost the middle. They know this. They just don't know how to react. I agree with that, Enrico. I think this is Gavin Newsom has had his chips now. He's just absolutely, his presidential hopes are in toast. Alphonse Rides Again says, has Greta Thunberg slipped her handlers, or is there an anti-Israeli faction among globalists now backing her? The Palestine stunt is big on the left right now. Well, I mean, last I saw, Greta Thunberg was claiming that she'd been kidnapped by the IDF or kidnapped by the Israelis. And I noticed because she was trending on Twitter. All I'll say is that Greta Thunberg 2.0, whatever you make of her, is more interesting than Greta Thunberg 1.0. I just think she's more interesting because there's that element of it not being so controlled now, right? She was so obviously like a puppet when she was the climate change activist, whereas this feels a little bit more edgy, you know what I mean? A bit more real. And for that reason, it's more interesting because it's more, it has the potential to go more kinetic, I'll just put it that way. Although I do think that this, was it a sailboat or a barge or something she's taken there? That was a stunt, let's face it. It was an activist stunt. And, you know, she wanted to be arrested by the Israelis, I would suggest. But anyway, Sam 153 says, this feels like a Trump win. All he has to do is reestablish order in LA while the shitlibs wax poetic on the usual BS. What normie is swayed by the lawlessness being promoted? Which NGOs, USAID, CRS orgs thought this was a good idea? I agree. Well, thank you very much, Sam 153. It means so much. I agree. I think this is an absolute Trump win politically. Just stupid. The shitlibs are stupid. Democrats cannot moderate. They need to moderate. They need to be a serious political party, and they're not. Broman Hanks says, come on, AA. Hypocrisy is just par for the course here. I know, but sometimes you have to point it out, yeah? James Mer says, given the disastrous results for a split left or right under first past the post, what is the strategy of yourself, Carl, etc., in choosing Reform or Tory? The necessity to settle for one is evident as 2029 looms. Well, my view is Rupert Lowe as the leader of the Tories. Watch my video from earlier where I explain my thinking in full and go through each of the options. I know last time I spoke to him, Carl was much more on the idea of Rupert Lowe setting up his own party rather than leading the Tories. I just think that if Rupert Lowe wants to be the Prime Minister, the quickest and easiest and most realistic route is just to become the leader of the Tories, right? Studio Rayner says, this week I decided to convert to Taoism or Taoism. Interesting, Studio Rayner. The thing is with Taoism, I'm not sure it's one of the things you need to convert to. You can just kind of like do it, you know. I am not a Taoist. I had a brief period where I was into Taoism, but I have settled on, let's just say, something else. But it's a good start. It's a good start. Henrik Bernofsky says, a British passport used to be worth £2 million plus 6 years, 5 years to get ILR plus 1 year via investor visa up to 2022. Rayner says, but the female elite theory, since given how weak men are right now, elite women have an advantage over men. Okay. And Rayner also says, Hillary Clinton was the one controlling the Democrat Party for the past 30 years. Well, I'm not sure how true that is. A lot of people have said that Obama is actually more of a kind of shadow puppeteer behind the scenes. All right. And I think that is it in terms of super chats and super thanks. There was one guy who said, I keep on forgetting his, but I'm not sure where that one is. Rayner with a last minute one, just saying, Grade says Greta and Fuentes are the same stunt. Dave said the Austrian painter is their devil. Yeah. But I think what I'm saying is going on about him enough times is going to like somehow bring about the opposite result that they want. Maloney says, these raids took place and were executed with a level of ruthlessness that was alarming. Once again, supporting the MAGA agenda as always. Rayner with the last minute says, Keir Starmer has 2 kids and is an atheist. Tony Blair has 5 kids and should return to power. Who is Starmer's wife? Who is Macron's wife? Starmer's wife, I know a couple of things about her. I know she's Jewish, for example. Macron's wife, all I know about her is that whenever I dismiss Candice Owens' idea that she's really a man, tons of people in the chat said, you haven't looked into it, AA, she really is. To which I roll my eyes and say, yeah. I mean, she's old, but that doesn't mean she's a man, right? But a lot of people believe the Candice Owens line on that. Mr. Bingo says, here's a tenner for your impression of Nick Ferrari from your Welsh-Italian friend, Mr. Bingo. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Bingo. What a Welsh Italian. What's that? That's Bella from Fireman Sam. Oh, Sam. Oh, Sam. Bellissimo. Oh, Sam. Do you remember her? All right. Yes, I think that is it. Okay. Oh, last minute one. Broman Hank says, you missed mine. I think the CRS bid. No, I went through them all. I went through them all, Broman Hank. So maybe your one didn't come through. Let me have a look. Broman Hank. Are you called Broman Hank? You know, sometimes YouTube does not allow them to come through. Maybe you use naughty language or something like this, but I don't see it, Broman Hank. Didn't come through, mate. That happens, you know. It sometimes hides them from me. It does happen. You know, if YouTube doesn't like some language or something, it doesn't come through. Maloney says, take my money, better you judge my money hungry. Enrico Palazzo says, if Greta goes the way of the Rainbow Warrior, do we mourn her? I mean, the thing is with Greta Thunberg, she's not like from our side of things, regardless of what she gets up to. But she is more interesting. She's more interesting now than she used to be, because I think that it's not obvious that power is on his side anymore. Whereas when she was doing the climate change bit, it was obvious she was just a puppet of power, basically. So that's why she was pushing out an open door. Therefore, she was not a radical. Whereas she's not pushing out an open door now, is she? All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back tomorrow with The Deepest Law. And tomorrow night, I'll be on Aaron McIntyre's show to talk about that CRS, the Community Relations Service, in more detail. Buy a course at the Academic Agency, Trivium, Foundations of Shakespeare, Foundations of Entrepreneurship, and many other great courses. But most importantly of all, ladies and gentlemen, get out.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.